And welcome into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com. And let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Wade. Doing great. How about you?
I'm doing well. Can't complain, sir. Hope you had a fine weekend.
Yes, we did. Nice and relaxing. And got family in town, so we're doing an all-family show today.
Nice.
Could be a little dangerous. Got my younger sister here in studio. Emily, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Great to be here.
And our main guest, extra special guest, this is, again, very risky because it's my dad. And I told him we're not going to go into old stories from my past. I've got a reputation to uphold. So we're going to stay real focused on my dad and his health and his journey over the past 90 days in particular is what we're going to focus on. And the point of this show, my main point anyways, is that I didn't talk to my dad at all about his health and what to do about some things that he discovered on his annual physical with his doctor back in Central Texas. But he talked to Emily, one of our health coaches, and Emily's the head of our corporate wellness department. She's been with us now for a number of months, and we'll talk more about that maybe in the second half of the show. So we're going to bring my dad on and kind of let him share his testimony and his journey from when he walked into his doctor's office earlier this year and then walked out with four prescriptions in hand. So, Dad, are you there? Welcome to the show.
I am here. Thank you, Benjamin.
You're welcome.
And I promise not to tell any old story. Well, I have to tell you, Daryl and I have some family old 8mm movies digitized recently, about 40 of those 3 minutes. And there's some good stuff there. I'll share with you when you're here for New Year's.
All right. Well,
it's all good. It's all good. But I will answer your questions and tell a short story about my recent experience with the medical profession. I still work full-time for Xerox, and we have insurance that covers a physical exam. They're very into preventative things. So, for the last 17 or 18, when I turned 60, I started getting serious about an annual physical. And so I've been doing that now for about 17 years. And I had this year, it was June 22nd, and just a routine physical, and everything I thought went okay. They drew some blood, and I didn't hear back from them for a while, and I called after a few weeks, and the guy was on vacation. So it was almost a month before I got the results of my blood work, and the nurse took me through it on the phone, and she didn't sound very alarmed, but she did say, you need to do this, we're going to prescribe some medicine, and you need to follow these directions and schedule another visit in 90 days. And I said, okay. But I knew from previous conversations with Ben that I probably should question whether or not I should take these medications or not. And I started, so I wanted a second opinion, basically. And I don't have to go very far to get a second opinion. We got a Dr. Edwards here and a Dr. Edwards there and over there too, and I was raised by a Dr. Edwards. Anyway, Emily heard the story and read the report that I had from my blood work and said that I was a good candidate for an alternative solution, and that's what I really was hoping to hear because I didn't want to start this medication. And then I talked to Ben, and then I met with Emily a few days after another blood work quest blood work that was recommended by Emily and Ben. And that was in early July. My physical had been on June 22nd. And the results of that physical, and it was confirmed by the work that Emily and Ben sponsored, was that I had very high glucose count. I never had that report before, and I never even heard the phrase A1C before. If I'd heard it, I didn't pay attention. I didn't know what it was. But my A1C was 11.1. And apparently that means you've got diabetes if you have that kind of a report. And I didn't feel like I had anything other than maybe a little symptoms of being 77 years old. But anyway, Emily and Ben gave me a, actually all of my interaction was with Emily, but gave me a routine to start on in terms of diet and exercise, with some goals to try to reach within 90 days. And I started that the first part of July. And so I went July, August, September, and then we met again and did another blood work at the end of 90 days. And to summarize that, I did daily. The hard part for me was sticking myself with a needle twice a day during this 90-day period. I'm not very good at looking at blood or experiencing pain. But I did that, and I look back at the record before this call. My average, the first week of July, my average fasting glucose number was 203. The last week, which was the final week of September, it was 101. The goal Emily had given me was to get under 120 by the end of 90 days. And so I patted myself on the back that I had overachieved that goal. I had to wait for more results, you know, from the blood test, for the second blood test, and learn about the A1C result. But that number went down from 11.1 to 6.1. So I've still got some work to do because I know the goal is under 5. And for the fasting, I know it's under 100, and I was at 101. But also my blood pressure, I checked that daily, and that first week my average was 140 over 81. And that's always been an issue for me every time I go into my annual physical. And the last week of that 90-day period was 127 over 78. So I do believe the path that Emily and Ben put me on was the right path, and it paid off. I'm in another 90-day period now, which kind of had a rough start with Thanksgiving right there at the beginning. I may have to restart my 90 days after Christmas. Yeah. We'll talk about that, Emily.
We can negotiate something, Dad. Yeah.
It's negotiable.
Because I like to see improved results, but with Thanksgiving and Christmas in here, my chart may have a little ripple in it. But anyway, I'm feeling good. I know I was experiencing a few symptoms of diabetes that I didn't even realize at the time, but I know more now than I did then, and those symptoms have gone away. And I'm into a routine now with my exercise that I'm proud of, and I'm seeing results in terms of the belt size that I had to buy a shorter belt about a month ago. So I want to thank Ben and Emily for putting me on this course, and just say, if you want to call me a living proof of your process, I am still alive, and I did, you know, survive 180 needle pricks, and I don't know how much blood, but it worked, and so here I am, I guess, patting myself and yourselves on the back for that. Thank you very much, and if you've got any more questions, I'll try to answer them.
Okay, well, you're welcome, but I can't take any credit, and you did the hard work, and Mom, too. We'll talk a little bit about what Mom contributed along this journey here in a minute. But, Dad, I don't want to throw your doctor under the bus, and this isn't anti-conventional medicine. As I've said before, conventional medicine, they're doing what we're trained to do, and what we've been trained to do is manage problems and not reverse or fix or resolve them. And so with that kind of training, and then you get put into a system that's overloaded, overworked, too many patients in a day, and you have a very limited toolbox. My dad's a woodworker, and then be like asking him to to build a toy airplane for my kids, which he has done, but only give him one chisel, not even a hammer. And that's similar with what we learn in medical school. We're given a toolbox. It's got one tool called pharmaceutical prescription pad, basically, if you're not a surgeon. So that's what his PCP did, and that's what we're trained to do. So he did exactly what we call standard of care. And the Texas Medical Board actually requires this by law. We have to give standard of care advice. But there's also a clause in the medical board rule, it's Rule 200, I know it well, that says we're also able to give complementary and alternative, or CAM for short, complementary and alternative recommendations. And so these are alternative or complementary to the standard of care. So Dad got his standard of care recommendations, and then he called us, as he said, for an alternative, a second opinion that may have an alternative, because a second opinion at another conventional, only conventional medicine trained doctor with one tool in his toolbox is going to be the same thing. Take the prescriptions, come back in 9 days and see how the prescriptions work for you. And I'll talk more about how those prescriptions work here in a minute, but it's a short-term management solution. So you're going to see numbers improve to a degree, but the underlying issue that caused the glucose to go up is not really addressed. And therefore, long-term outcomes aren't really, the needle doesn't move. Heart attacks, death rate, kidney failure, all the things that diabetics run into, and just overall longevity even, because you're not addressing root causes. So, Dad, not throwing your doctor under the bus, but do you remember the prescriptions he recommended? How many and what were they for in total? Because you walked in without, obviously, a diagnosis of diabetes, but because he wrote you two or three or four new prescriptions that day?
Well, I can't tell you. Let me just tell you what happened. I mean, I was given that direction. And, like, within 24 hours, I had a phone call from CVS that my prescriptions were ready to pick up. I believe it was three different things. And I guess I could find out what those were, but I can't remember.
Okay.
I just thought, wow, that was quick. You know, I didn't even ask for this. And I already decided to get some alternative advice. So I told CVS that I wasn't going to come pick up those prescriptions, and they could put them back on the shelf. And they did that. And I haven't talked to my doctor or scheduled another visit since then, because I think I've changed horses on that topic now. And Ben, I don't know if you remember, but you know, 3 or 4 years ago when we were on vacation, Daryl had asked me to ask you what your opinion was on the medicines I was taking then, one for high blood pressure and one for
cholesterol.
Yeah, cholesterol. And you give a very short answer and said, well, those medicines will kill you. And I thought,
I don't exactly remember that, Dad, but go
ahead.
Well,
I do. And I thought, well, why would my doctor prescribe medicine that's going to kill me? But I never did go ask him. I just told him the next time I went to see him, and this was a different doctor who retired last year, so my last two exams have been with a new doctor here in Temple. This other fellow was in Waco. But anyway, I just told him, hey, I've got a doc, you know, my son. And I told him your story about your wellness practice, and I'm not going to take those medicines anymore. And he kind of shrugged and said, okay, I understand. And I haven't. You know, I haven't taken those now for nearly 4 years.
Well,
am I answering your question?
You are.
Okay, your question. Okay.
Yep, that's good.
Well, anyway, I'm not taking any medications today. Zero. Zip, Donato. And haven't now for almost 4 years. And probably, I think I'm better off for it. I know I'm better off with the exercise and diet program that I'm pretty much, you know, religiously following with a few deviations. But
yeah.
I guess the pharmaceutical industry would go out of business if it was depending on me.
Yeah, well, that's our goal. It reminds me, just last week, it's Thursday or Friday, late last week, had a patient from Midland, very similar story to you, Dad, just a few years younger, but not much. And he was telling me how his pharmacy, and he's a year into his journey, and his A1C now is about 5.3, 5.5, which is our goal. And it was 11 when he came in. So very similar. Unfortunately, he had to have some amputation of his toes that started his journey. That's when he discovered he's diabetic. He had a foot ulcer that wouldn't get well. But his pharmacist keeps calling, or the pharmacy tech, they keep calling him because he's not coming in to get his refills. And he's explained to him multiple times, I don't need those anymore. And they said, oh, you're allergic? Or no, he said, my doctor took me off those. Oh, you're allergic? We can find an alternative for you. And he said, no, I'm not allergic. He took me off of them. I don't need them. And the lady just couldn't understand that. And the point was he didn't need them anymore. His blood pressure is normal. His blood sugar is normal. He's no longer diabetic. And I will say, and I don't recall that conversation 4 years ago on vacation, but the statins is probably what I was honing in on, because the the cholesterol. Well, go ahead, Dad.
No, I said yes. It was a statin.
Yeah. So I'm pretty bold about the statin discussion. That's where I will be very, very. I'll take a lot of time informing the patient of the risk benefit, informed consent. That the benefit of a statin on someone who's not had a heart attack, the reduction of risk of cardiovascular mortality is 0.8% absolute risk reduction. That's less than 1% reduction. So to me, that's a false sense of security these people are on. I just had another patient tell me that last week. His buddy's walking around eating just total junk, but he's taking 80 milligrams of a statin, saying, I'm sure glad I got my statin. Now, if that guy knew the truth, that it only was protecting him less than 1% risk reduction of a heart attack and death from heart attack, you know, he'd have a different tune. But he's not informed of that. He's just told high cholesterol causes heart attacks, take this. High cholesterol does not cause heart attacks. Half the people with a heart attack have quote-unquote high cholesterol, and half have normal cholesterol. It's inflamed cholesterol that's a problem. And we'll talk about that more in the second half of the show, because our blood panel looks at that. Is your LDL inflamed or not? If it's not, it can be 200, and it's fine. It's not going to increase your risk. But you will be at increased risk of dementia, loss of memory, and neurological problems if you take a statin, because it's going to lower your cholesterol, and you need cholesterol. People with the highest cholesterol have less dementia, less cancer, and less immune system issues. So knowing Dad's family history, that probably prompted me to say that could kill you if I did say that. But it definitely would. The risk benefit does not weigh in favor of it's beneficial for you to be on a statin. It's way more beneficial to deal with inflammation, which causes heart attacks and Alzheimer's and diabetes and hypertension and all the things, including asthma. Dad, that's one thing we haven't even talked about, and I don't recall. I know in your past, asthma has been more of an issue, and maybe it's seasonal, so it might not be the right season. But have you noticed anything with your breathing?
No, not really. My asthma was a real problem as a kid and even as a young adult. But it hasn't really been a problem in recent years.
Okay.
I sometimes feel like I'm going to start wheezing when I get close to Lubbock, when I see some dust storms coming out. That's the only time I have that feeling.
Okay.
And so I take a little inhaler with me when we come for our Lubbock visit.
Yeah.
But I hardly ever use that. It's not been a problem at all.
Okay.
In recent years.
Well, I know the audience is going to be curious about what exactly you did. I know Emily could talk to this some, and I'm saving Emily for the second half of the show maybe, but let you get this first half all everything in. And I do want to say to the audience that maybe got scared about poking your finger with a needle twice a day, I think we recommended that probably early on, because an A1C of 11, that's an average blood sugar of about 300. And so you want to make sure that the patient really understands and is actually committed and he's not cheating. Because it's dangerous to have high blood sugar. You can get into an acute issue. Mostly high sugar does its damage over time, and years and years and years, it's going to do damage to your organs. But there could be a risk of an acute problem right this minute if you jump up in the 3 and 4 and 500. So we want to make sure Dad wasn't going to go that way. And I was pretty sure he wasn't going to, just from his whole story. So we had him check his sugar twice a day. But normally you don't really have to do that. And Dad, hope you don't get mad on this one, but it's probably a little overkill because that A1C, that's a 3-month average. It's able to look back over 90 days because a red blood cell lives about 90 days. So what this test is doing is looking at red blood cells and basically measuring how much sugar, glucose, think of it as glaze on a glazed donut, and how thick is that glaze, that sugar glaze on the red blood cell. So we can just check every 90 days and it'll average it and that'll tell us. But Dad was definitely A++ student, checking the blood sugar every single day, poking the finger. But if that scares you, your listener out there, that's not an absolute requirement. But Dad was, he was a very good student. So, Dad, talk about maybe that visit with Emily. That you jumped right in on that right away, I think, is the next day or two. Y'all visited. She had recommended some things. Tell the audience a little bit about specific recommendations. What did you think about those recommendations? How did you go about implementing that? How hard was that to implement? What did Mom have to do to jump in to help you? That kind of thing.
Okay. I will answer that question, but let me just confess, too, that I know, and Daryl had pointed this out, my wife's name is Daryl, had pointed out, I had really gotten into a bad routine last year about lack of exercise. I mean, there have been years when I did routinely, you know, walk or kayak or even jog at one point. But this past year, I got real off of that. And also, my dietary habits were less than perfect. In fact, I'll confess, I was into a routine to have just a cup of Bluebell vanilla ice cream almost every night.
Ding, ding, ding.
So I think I was on a, you know, downhill course to have some problems that, you know, got arrested with this awakening. But, you know, lack of exercise and not eating the right things and maybe eating too much, I think, were the main things that got me to where I was in June this past summer. And Emily knew all that. She knows my habits, and she basically had a prescription of what I should and shouldn't eat and what kind of exercise I need to get into a habit of doing. And she pointed out, I don't have these notes with me right now, but she talked about your pillars, your nutrition, hydration, peace, and movement. So I've learned a lot here these past few days. I knew about those because I've been listening to you time to time, Ben, not all the time, but a lot of the time. Anyway, she had, you know, put me on a course. No more Bluebell vanilla ice cream for sure. And we were having this at a breakfast at the Monument Cafe in Georgetown. It was our meeting place. And prior to that, I would have ordered biscuits and gravy, or they have a chicken fried steak option on their breakfast menu. And those are my two favorite. And she says those are the two worst things on the menu that you could order, and pointed out, you know, what the right things were. And so from the very start, I had a little awakening about what not to eat and what to eat. And this word fast or fasting, Emily gave me a book on that topic a year or two ago, which I have still gotten or haven't gotten around to read. But she talked about the benefits of intermittent fasting. And then when she prioritized everything at the end, she said, but the most important thing, if you just focus on one thing, would be improving your muscle mass. I'd never even heard the term muscle mass or thought about that. But that's, you know, she gave me exercises that primarily involve lifting weights, you know, hand weights. Not, I don't go to a gym, but I've got a set of 5 pound, 10 pound, and 15 pound hand weights. And she already given me some exercises about balance and stretching, because I'd had an issue with balance a few months prior. So she integrated those two things into a daily routine for me and had a menu of acceptable items. And I'll have to say one of the things I missed the most was bread. However, during this 90-day period, we learned, and Emily's helped us procure for me, a sourdough bread made from apparently acceptable ingredients that has solved that problem for me. I miss the Bluebell vanilla, and there's no good substitute for that. However, I've eaten more blueberries in the last 90 days than I've eaten probably in the last 60 years. And blueberries with cream or a yogurt is not so bad. So that I don't know if I have answered directly your questions, Ben, or not, but those are the, I think, the main ingredients in my turnaround. Eating less and eating none of the bad stuff, but more of the good stuff, and daily exercise. This morning, I usually get up at 5 o'clock, and by 6 o'clock, I finish my routine for the exercise, and then I go outside and walk for about 45 minutes. We have a hill. It's an old abandoned boat ramp just down the street from where we live, and instead of walking around the neighborhood, I walk up and down that hill 10 times now for my outdoor exercise. Watch the sun come up. And if I haven't missed it more than once or twice in the last 4 months, but we did travel to Katy not too long ago, and we were in a hotel that didn't have what I needed for my exercises, and I missed it. But that was just one day out of the last 120.
You know, that's awesome, Dad. And I will say, you're to be commended. I mean, you got after it, and you got committed. You sought the knowledge, gained the knowledge, applied the knowledge, and Emily and I get to just sit back and watch your weekly emails come in with your amazing graphs that you graphed out, your blood pressure and your weight and your waist circumference and your blood sugars, and just watch the body do what it was designed to do, which was function normally all the days of our life. Even at 77, we don't just write things off to old age. The body should function all the days of our life. So you've done an amazing job of sticking with it and being dedicated. And just one comment more for the listeners, because the biscuits and gravy and chicken fried steak, there are ways to do that right. Unfortunately, most restaurants are having to do things on a budget, which we all are, but so you don't get the high quality ingredients. But when we come back from the break, one of the things we do want to touch on, because Emily was just telling me this morning before the show about a fresh milled bakery down in Austin, and we want to give them props and shout out to them, because I know she's gone there, got some bread from them, and given it to Dad to use, and that's a big thing. And as our longtime listeners of the show know, it's the wheat's not the problem. It's what man does to that wheat when we sift it and separate out all the nutrition, and all that's left is the starch and the protein, and the body has a hard time processing that through our carburetors. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. The issue is really not the carbs. It's the ability to process those carbs through your carburetor, and the carburetors are damaged by what man has done to our food. These seed oils, processed grains, and processed sugars gunk up your carburetor, so then it can't process these carbs. And one way to deal with that is, well, pharmaceutical doesn't deal with it at all, really. But you could just remove carb totally and go keto, low carb, and that's okay. You'll fix the blood sugar temporarily, but you still got a gunked up carburetor, and you really need to clean that up. And that's where the muscle mass, the resistance training, the sunshine in the morning, and other things. But it's really a carburetor issue. So, yeah, we deal with the bad fuel coming in, the processed carb that's a toxin. But then eventually you bring in the right carbs, God food, not man food, and you clean up your carburetor, boom, it can handle it. So we'll talk about that after the break. Dad, we got to take a break real quick. Any last comment? You're welcome to stick over on the other side of the break if you want to, but any last comment before the break?
Well, the only comment I have been, and I'm working on this for you, I think your show needs a theme song. And I've got some ideas about that. I'm not going to share those now.
Okay.
But you've got a good, you've got a good message. You've got a good logo. You've got a great following and a great success. A lot of testimonials. But you don't have a theme song, and so I'm going to help you with that.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to that, Dad.
Okay. Wait,
are you going to play it on your guitar?
Well, it could be, but, might have to get a royalty or something if I did that.
Well, we can negotiate maybe one cup of Bluebell ice cream a month for for you singing the jingle.
Well, you need something punchy. You
yep.
need something to get stuck in people's head, and that you don't walk away from these radio shows and singing your theme song and sharing that message. And
right.
I think that's, I can't think of anything else you really need.
Okay.
But I think you need that.
Thanks, so, Dad.
That's all.
Some good constructive advice there. If we get that theme song kicking in here, we'll take it on the road. We'll just go right up to Rochester to Xerox headquarters and introduce our corporate wellness program. How many employees does Xerox have?
Well, a lot fewer than they used to, but I think around 20,000.
Woo! All right. Well, good goal to shoot for.
Worldwide.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, great job, Dad. I appreciate you coming on the show. You're doing amazing.
Well, I am
going
to sign off because Xerox is calling me right now. I've been declining.
Okay.
But anyway, I appreciate the opportunity to share my story, and thank you again for helping me get well.
Well, you're welcome.
And I know I'm the cure. You know, who needs a doctor?
There you go.
I mean, I've heard that.
Well, that's exactly right, Dad. Thank you for sharing your testimony. Emily, thank you for helping Dad. And we'll be with Emily when we come back from the break. We'll talk more with Emily about what she's doing and what she did with Dad and what she's doing and available to do with you. So y'all stick with us. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. This show will be on our archive page, veritasmedical.com. We'll also have it on iTunes, and pretty soon we'll have it on all the podcast platforms. So check it out there, too. We will be right back. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the cure.
And welcome back into Here's a Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out veritasmedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's veritasmedical.com.
All right, we're back. Got my sister Emily here in studio. We're going to visit with her a little bit. Dad had to go on back to work, and he is still working at 77 years old, working for Xerox. He's their longest tenured employee ever. I think he's 52 years or
around there.
Something
yeah.
like that. So thanks again, Dad. Dad did say after we went to the break that he was sorry he didn't give Emily more praise and thanks because literally Emily did all the work. I mean, I don't even remember that first conversation he mentioned he called me, but Emily met with him, instructed him, checked in on him, gave him advice all along the way as he gave his weekly updates. And I mean, I will say that Dad was impressive. He was, I mean, he's the most diligent patient, and not even a patient. He's not my patient, but a client or person I've seen. He got after it. So, Emily, what in the world did you do to motivate him? I guess an A1C of 11, that'll motivate you. Mm-hmm. But like he said, he didn't even know what the word A1C meant.
Right.
Never knew his glucose was high, so he walks in, thought he was not diabetic, walks out full-blown, didn't know it for a month. The doctor's out of town, the nurse calls him, sort of explains it, take these meds, CVS will call you when they're ready, come back in 90 days. And it was two diabetes pills, cholesterol pill, and a blood pressure pill, I'm pretty sure is what he showed me earlier on. But kind of maybe briefly give that, and then we want to talk about your journey too, because Emily's a doctor of physical therapy and was the head of the physical therapy department at a local hospital down there in Austin for a while, and now she's been working with us since April. She's a director of our corporate wellness program. I'm so excited about this. We've talked about it a little bit in the past, but going to highlight it way more going forward because the results just like what Dad got. I mean, you can completely reverse disease, and the people do it. It's not a doctor that's going to do it, and every doctor will tell you that. It's diet and lifestyle that's driving all this. Doctors just aren't trained in diet and lifestyle medicine and how to educate folks. So we got to bring in people who can, and that's you and other wellness navigators in our corporate wellness program. Starting the first of the year, we're going to have a new website that can incorporate corporate clients, but also individuals. People will be able to do exactly what Dad did, get a blood panel. We'll talk about that. What does that blood panel look like compared to his doctor's blood panel? You know, why did we have him go to Quest right after he just got blood work back a month before from his doctor? Well, we needed to see more detail, and so we can talk about that too. But maybe a little bit more on the specifics on Dad, but then your journey too. So we'll just let you have the mic. But tell us about with Dad, what specifically?
Yeah, so, well, Dad really just took the information I gave him and ran with it. So his motivation and discipline was just really on his own. I just feel like I gave him the knowledge that I hope it inspired him to do what we were asking him to do. Because going into it, one, I knew he didn't like blood. And so when I knew that we were going to ask him to check his blood, I thought he might balk at that and be like, no way. I don't like needles. And he's like, okay. Like, he immediately was like, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Like, that was his attitude going into when we met for that breakfast that one morning. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. And so having a person that's super motivated and sees that there is an option to actually get to the root of the problem and fix this problem. Mm-hmm. I think he was just already there. So it wasn't hard for me to motivate him, thankfully. Mm-hmm. And so I think he was empowered by the knowledge and understanding that, okay, like I can do something about this.
Yeah.
And two, I think I kept it fairly simple. I was like, you know, it's really not that hard. If you think about it, you just need to cut out a few things for food and just eat more nutrient dense foods. And you need to move. You need to get away from your desk. You need to get outside. You need to move. You need to build your muscles. Because he's been sitting at that desk ever since they moved back to Texas. And it's been years. And his muscles just over time are deteriorating and just not healthy. And so I think he just saw the light. And he's like, yeah. Like he said, he hadn't exercised well this past year, not getting out on the kayak and walking. And so I think it's just a good motivating wake-up call for him. And he's just ran with it. And I think too, is like understanding, like you said, he didn't understand muscle mass and why that was important. And you could see just his calves were disappearing. Like you just see his muscle mass was declining greatly. Even mom asked me about it. And that this was before he had his blood work done. And I'm like, well, he just sits so much. I'm like, he's just not challenging or using his muscles. But turns out his muscles are also getting eaten by his high blood sugar. Mm-hmm. But I think that was it was a wake-up call for them, and he just took it. Like, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. It's kind of, mm-hmm. I gave him the knowledge that he needed and kind of gave him a schedule to see how this is doable. It's not going to be too overwhelming. It won't take up too much time. It's like he said, he gets it all done pretty much before he even starts working in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's part of it. It's like, this is very doable. It's not, there are some lifestyle changes, but it's not going to, like, mess up your schedule too much or make too much havoc, but it actually is like he says he misses it now when he doesn't get to go exercise. So he's in a routine mm-hmm. now that he actually enjoys mm-hmm. and feels better with. And so I think that's part of it, the simplicity of it. But then also the knowledge is power for sure.
Yeah. Well, people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. But the very next part of that verse is because they rejected knowledge.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, there's so much knowledge available now, and there is a lot of lack of knowledge and mm-hmm. deception and heart healthy vegetable oils.
Right.
Actually, those are rancid and very mm-hmm. pro-inflammatory. And let me show you that how your LDL cholesterol is inflamed, and mm-hmm. and you can show that. Maybe let's talk about that. So I know you've had some other friends and acquaintances and clients, but they'll bring you their quote unquote annual blood work. I think mm-hmm. you told me one kid or guy, it was only a lipid panel, total mm-hmm. cholesterol, LDL, HDL, and triglycerides. Another person, it was only a complete blood count, CBC, and a CMP, comprehensive metabolic panel, you know, two things.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit, talk a little bit about maybe dad's blood panel, because mm-hmm. It was a little more comprehensive, but mm-hmm. still we had to get our own.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, it has been interesting because since starting this new job, I have had friends from church be like, hey, I'm going to get my yearly blood work done. Can you look at it? And I did have one of my friends text hers to me. And I was like, is this it? Like, it was a picture of, it was this CBC and CMP. So the only inflammatory marker that was in there was her blood sugar. And with our panel, we get 10 inflammatory markers. So I text her back. It's like, this is it. She's like, yeah. I was like, this tells me nothing. It's like, this is not very complete. She's like, I'm going back to my doctor in January. Tell me what I need to ask him to do. I'm like, okay, I'll give you the list of all the other 9 inflammatory markers that we'd really like to see know what's going on. And so for my dad's panel, it was definitely more comprehensive than my friend's panel. But I think it lacked insulin. It definitely lacked the detail of how we break down cholesterol and understanding what type of LDL people have. And so I informed my dad about that. Like, hey, we can dig a little more because it'd be super nice to know where your insulin's at and your LDL cholesterol. And so he's like, yeah, I want y'all's panel. And so we did that panel and were able to have definitely a bigger, better picture of where he was at with not only his blood sugar and the A1C, but the insulin, the cholesterol. And so I get super excited with our panel because it just is such a more broad scope of view of how someone's really doing. Because like with my dad, and he said he had some symptoms, but I didn't even know he had symptoms. And so a lot of times people don't even know what's happening,
mm-hmm.
but this blood panel, like especially with insulin, if you can catch insulin that's elevated early before your blood sugar starts getting elevated, like you can help prevent and change the course of your trajectory of your health super early versus waiting 10, 20 years when those symptoms gradually do start appearing, especially diabetes. It's like those things don't appear until later when you have the amputation or your vision starts changing, peripheral neuropathy and those type of things. And so I am super excited about our corporate wellness program and the fact that we're going to offer it to individuals coming this new year, because it's such a very comprehensive panel that gives people a lot of information. And we spend the time explaining it to them. Like my friend, her doctor just texted or emailed her panel. Like, they don't tell her anything what it means, so she's asking me what it means. And then same with dad, like yeah, your blood sugar's high, here's these medications, but they don't explain, like, well, why is your blood sugar high? Is there another way to get it down? So the educational piece that we offer, as well as the very comprehensive blood panel, is well worth it.
And so many symptoms, especially at 77, we've been trained folks to just expect more fatigue, less, you know, low energy, a little bit of brain fog, don't remember where I put something, or kind of forgot someone's name, but I'm just old. It's just, and even just mobility, I know dad was starting to even shuffle a little bit, and that shuffling, you trip over a door threshold or something, and you're 77 year old, and that's just what happens.
Right.
No, that's not just what happens. The body will function if you steward it. Talk a little bit, and I'm real excited about the corporate wellness thing and the individuals, and we've mentioned the new year. We're revamping the website, so people will be able to jump on there, sign up, and it's going to be $300 for the full comprehensive panel that digs deep, a deep dive, but then you get to sit with a one-hour interpretation visit. You get to sit with a wellness navigator who, on a Zoom call, who can go through that step by step, line by line, here's this, here's that. And we're really looking for lit fuses, you know, instead of the bomb going off 10 years down the road. And that's what happened to dad. The bomb kind of went off. But we can find these lit fuses early. So it'll be a 1 hour consultation to go over that and give you a plan, just like Emily gave dad, a pretty basic, doable, pretty simple plan. So that's what's coming in the new year. So y'all be looking for that, and that'll be nationwide. We'll be able to utilize Quest Labs all over the country. You go to your own local lab, get your blood drawn, and then we can set that appointment and walk through that with you. And then we'll have an education program you can also sign up for that'll just be all the resources and weekly live Zoom Q&As with our navigators, small group classes, curriculum, daily texts. It'll go out with little encouraging tidbits of education. But we'll roll that out here pretty quick in the new year. Emily, talk a little bit about just your journey, Dr. Physical Therapy, maybe why you got into physical therapy, how that went all those years, and then what made you open your eyes to nutrition or wellness or however, and then ended up with us.
So I was an athlete primarily growing up. Play basketball a lot and other sports, but basketball is my main mode of exercising and doing things, and loved basketball. And the goal and my plan was to play in college until I hurt my knee. And then I had surgery and had to go through about 6 months of physical therapy. And prior to that, I knew I did not want to have a desk job. I was like, I like being active and I love health. And so this physical therapy, I was like, wow, this looks like a lot of fun. You can help people get back to what they want to do and who they want to be. And so from there on, I was like, okay, I think this will be a fun profession. And so I got into physical therapy, did that for pretty much, I guess, almost 20 years before starting this new role, and loved it. I worked primarily 17 of those years was at a medical system in Round Rock, Texas, and worked in the outpatient department primarily, became the supervisor of that department, loved that job. But one thing that being in that medical system, basically outpatient wise, I loved it because I was just helping people rehab from injuries and surgeries, but there would be some weekend days or some holidays I'd have to work in the hospital itself, and that's where I would see a lot of sick people and just kind of see that traditional sick care model. But even in the outpatient department, I would help people recover from amputations from their diabetes, and you just see sick people in that regard too. And most of my patients were older patients, and they had a long list of medications, and you just kind of, there was always inside of me, I'm like, man, there's more that I could do to help people. I wish I could see them 10 years earlier, 10 years before they had the amputation for the diabetes, or just whatever the issue was. It's like, I feel like they could have a healthier road than where they are now. But I was still thankful for the opportunity to help them where they currently were and get to a better spot. But I've always had a love for just being well in regards to like eating well, just optimizing your body as much as you can and stewarding it well. So when you made the shift 10 years ago, I guess it was, in your medical practice, I was always excited to hear stories from you about like how people were turning diseases around and their health around just by changing their diet and those stewarding their bodies well. And so I always have a love for that too. And then I worked for you kind of on the side doing some wellness navigating calls. So when you called me for this job opportunity, I was like, wow, this is exciting, because just being able to give people a different option. Like you told me one time when I was still in the healthcare system that I was in, and I was trying to talk to people about how to steward our bodies better, how to, like the mask issue during COVID, like how we can do things better besides wearing masks for 3 years straight. And so it was like I was trying to conquer a monster. And you're like, sometimes you can't kill the monster. You just got to come alongside and give people a different option. Just have a parallel option that people can choose from. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is a huge thing over here that I can't. This one person's not making a huge difference. Even though my CEO actually agreed with me. He just couldn't change anything because it's such a big corporate industry. And so I was like, yeah, let that parallel option. Okay, like I am on board and I'm super excited to be a part of a company and the work you're doing, because I 100% align with everything that you talk about and teach and educate people on. And so it's been an awesome journey to get here, and I'm super excited. I've been doing it since April, and it's just been a lot of fun. So we recently just started having some 6-month follow-ups with people we started this program with back in April. And some of those testimonies of people turning around their diet and lifestyle and seeing the positive changes in their blood work, it's just been very rewarding. Physical therapy is super rewarding, and I still do it on the side with people, but this is even more, I feel like, because you're helping people at a deeper level with prevention, and helping them in their journey of health for hopefully impacting their lives for years, but then also a trickle effect to their family and the generations that can impact is awesome.
Yeah, and especially doing it through a corporate wellness program where a company obviously has an incentive to have healthy employees for lots of reasons, not just financial and cut your healthcare cost, but productivity, but more than anything, it's the right thing to do.
Right.
If you're the CEO of a company, those employees, God gave them to you. You know, we need to steward those employees. They're a gift from God. And so here's a way to do it. Mm-hmm. And from my perspective, you know, because our clinical side typically attracts patients that are just super, super sick. They failed conventional medicine out of desperation. They're looking for alternative. They're so far down that road. The bombs have gone off big time. It's like, man, how can we get further upstream? Just like you were saying, in the best upstream ways, get to all the employers and let these employers get the truth of here's what a real blood panel looks like and here's what the numbers really mean. High cholesterol is not a problem. Mm-hmm. High LDL is not a problem. And here's all the literature, all the evidence-based medicine to prove that. Let's go deeper than LDL. I mean, who's still – why are we even doing regular lipid panels?
Right. Doesn't
total LDL, HDL, and triglyceride. That's antiquated. Mm-hmm. That's a 30-year-old panel. There's so much more we can see and understand. I'm biased, but the things we can't move with diet without a pharmaceutical is we don't check them.
Right.
You know, you can't move that LDL particle from that small, dense, pro-inflammatory to the big, fluffy, healthy that's not associated with heart disease. You can't move that with pharmaceutical.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's not a pharmaceutical answer, then probably the doctors and the system aren't really going to check that or they can't. They don't know what to do with that. They sure don't have the time or the education, because I didn't learn any of this in medical school, as you didn't either in physical therapy school. So just to the general public out there, business owners in particular, you know, conventional medicine is great at acute care, urgent care, trauma care. You need something urgently done, life-saving. You've been in a car wreck, that kind of thing. But most of our healthcare dollars are going to these chronic diseases, diabetes in particular. But even Alzheimer's is considered type 3 diabetes. You know, the brain needs to be able to take that fuel, glucose or fat, and metabolize it into energy. And when that carburetor can't do that in the brain, then you get forgetful and there's consequences. But that's across the board. Heart attacks, cancer, Alzheimer's, it's all related. It's all mitochondrial dysfunction. And we might have to have you back, Emily, because I really want to touch on the movement piece, because it was, you and Dad even said the one thing, if you could do one thing, even if you kept eating Bluebell, move and build that muscle. And even you have this new gadget you showed me this week, and we'll get one at the clinic for our patients to check out, but it's grip strength. It's a little gadget. You can measure how strong your grip strength is, and that's a better predictor. You were telling me.
Yeah, of heart attack and stroke, and some better predictors of longevity than these inflammatory markers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even better predictor than in the inflammatory panel and the cholesterol panel is this grip strength. It's amazing. So we'll maybe have you on to talk more about that in another show, because we got to wrap it up here. But I'm sure glad you came on. Do want to shout out to Mom. We didn't even hardly get to talk about all the commitment Mom did. That's huge. Yeah. Emily was mentioning that this morning before we came to the show. To have a spouse walk alongside with you, be all in, be one, not be pulling against this or being mad or being an obstruction, but actually helping, changing the diet. I know she made Thanksgiving the turkey and dressing. She made a different kind of recipe. The fresh milled grains, they don't spike your blood sugar. There's, I mentioned that bakery down in Cedar Park.
Yeah, they're actually in Round Rock, Sandiford Sourdough Bakery. If any of y'all are down there in Round Rock, highly recommend we use their sourdough bread. Does not spike the glucose. Fresh milled, they get their flour from Barton Springs, a mill. And yeah, my dad loves it. He says the best bread he's ever tasted. But it he allowed him to eat bread and not spike his blood sugar. And my mom used that for the dressing.
Yeah, fresh milled wheat. So wheat's not the problem. Get it fresh milled. Get all the nutrients God put in there for us. And that mitochondria, your carburetor, will utilize that fuel beautifully. You use sifted flour, and it's going to gunk up your carburetor. It's that simple. So great job down there. We'll have to get the bakery on here just to give them so promote them. We want to promote these businesses that are helping people steward their health. I know we've got a new mill here in Lubbock. We'll get them on the show too. They're fresh milling all kinds of grain here in Lubbock, and if you're interested in partnering with them to make a bakery, kind of like this bakery's doing with Barton Springs Mill down in Austin, maybe y'all reach out to us. We can hook you up with that bakery. What was the name one more time? Sandiford Sourdough Bakery in Round Rock. So check them out if you're in the Round Rock area for sure, and maybe get them on the show. Emily, thanks for helping Dad. Thanks for helping all these clients in our corporate program. And you individuals out there that have been wanting to sign up and been calling us, we'll have that available for you soon in the new year, and y'all can talk with Emily or one of the other wellness navigators. So great job. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It's great.
Awesome. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the Cure. VeritasMedical.com is where this show will be, and on iTunes under You're the Cure. Thank you, Wade, for the airwaves.
Appreciate that. Of course, you've been listening to You're the Cure. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com.